Amen? It's good to be here. It's a blessing to be here. And you know, you're not going to believe this, but the sermon topic was chosen weeks ago. It wasn't until at Brian's party, I think, maybe, that I even learned that these two ladies would be here with us today. So it's amazing how God works. So let's all sit back, take a deep breath, and see what it is God wants us to learn this morning from His Word. God works in amazing ways. You know, we've been talking over this past several months about what it means to be considerate Christians. Are we considerate of others' needs? Do we operate in our lives thinking about others and how our actions will impact them, lead them to or away from Christ? We talked about how considerate Christians are to love and pray for their enemies. We talked about how considerate Christians are to be humble people. We talked about how considerate Christians handle disagreements among each other. Then we talked about how considerate Christians are to be patient and forgiving and gentle. And last week at the Unity Service, we talked about how considerate Christians are to work together. Despite all of our differences, despite all of our things we have going on in life, when we work together in God's kingdom, awesome things happen. Amen? Amazing things happen. And today's topic, considerate Christians are generous. A father gave his little daughter $2. And he said, "Honey, you can do whatever you want with one of these dollars, but the other dollar belongs to God." Well, the girl got excited and she jumped up and she started to run to the candy store. And as she was running to the candy store, she tripped and she fell, and one of the dollars went into a storm drain. So she got up and brushed herself off and she said, "Well, God, there went your dollar." And that's a cute story. And we laugh about that. But aren't we like that little girl sometimes when it comes to giving? What is it that will cause us as Christians to give in a way that glorifies God? I tell you, it won't be sermons of guilt. It won't be big campaigns. It won't be gimmicks. But we will give the way God wants us to give when we begin to understand just a glimpse of the depth of God's character. Just a glimpse of God's goal to reach those who are lost through His generous character in us. That's when we begin to understand that. We got to allow God's Spirit to fill us with Christ's truth, with Christ's character. And when we do that, we will conclude that our God is generous. Amen? Our God is generous. Now, we've talked from time to time, and you've probably heard many sermons on using your time or using your talents, and those are very important ways to give. The things at Healing Hands wouldn't happen without time and talent, right? We don't talk a lot about the financial aspect. That's where we're going to focus today, on the financial matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Generosity is revealed in God's character. You see that. First of all, we're going to talk about God is generous in creation. Think about this world. God took this universe. He set everything in motion, created this entire planet, and He gave it to us. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. Ron, it's good to see Ron Dying back with us. Ron was talking this morning about seeing some massive alligators. It's amazing when you see God's creation. We went to the zoo this week. We saw a lot of cool animals. A lot of weird ones too. But God's creation is amazing. God spoke and things happened. He created everything by speaking it. He gave breath to Adam and Eve. And as you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, on every page of Scripture, you see God's generosity, don't you? You see a God who is generous in His creation. We also have a God who is generous in salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God is generous, and his grace is generosity toward those who are at war with him. Think about that. Imagine being at war with somebody, but being completely generous as well. That's amazing. Salvation is God's gift to his rebellious creation. Why is it that we celebrate Christmas? I mean, there's any number of reasons, right? We could list them off. One of the reasons we celebrate Christmas is because we celebrate the way our Savior came to this earth. He came in the humblest of circumstances, and we are in awe of that, that God would choose to bring the Savior of this world, his one and only Son, to this world the way Jesus came. That was his generosity. We see his generosity in Jesus, a Savior that came to die for people that spat on him. A Savior who came to die for people that would mock him. A Savior who came to die for people that would jam thorns into his head. Who would put him on the cross. That is the ultimate example of generosity. Amen? The way the Savior came. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It doesn't say here that God so loved the world that he took something. No, he gave. Generosity. You know, Satan wants you to believe that God takes from you. Satan wants you to believe that God takes your time. God takes your money. God takes your fun. That's the lie Satan spreads. But when you look at Scripture, when you begin to understand God's character, you see that God is a God that gives, and he gives, and he gives. He's a God of generosity. God is generous in salvation. God is also generous in sanctification. Have you ever thought what God does for the church? It's amazing. Ephesians 4:8 tells us he gave gifts to the people. Ephesians 4:11 says he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. God gives us gifts for the benefit of building up his body, for the benefit of building up his kingdom. Why? Just so that he has an army of people? No. He builds up his kingdom so that we can go out and spread his generosity to show the world how generous and how loving he is so that souls come to be saved. That's what it's all about. Titus 2:14 says about Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. God's generosity has a purpose. It has a goal. Redemption is buying back people who were sold into slavery. Jesus cleansed us from sin, and we're to be eager about doing good things. In this giving, this generosity of God, that's what bought us back. We as his people are to be eager to do good things. Y'all know what the word eager means here? It means to boil enthusiastically for something. Does anybody ever boil enthusiastically? I have a lot of days where I just boil. You ever have days like that? What does it mean to boil enthusiastically for something? Do you boil enthusiastically when your kids are on the ball field? I'm new at that. I cheered at practice one time and I got corrected. I'm not supposed to do that. I guess you saved that for the game. Sports never were my thing. But you boil enthusiastically when your kids are on the ball field, when your grandkids are out there playing the game, you're in the stands boiling enthusiastically for them, right? You boil enthusiastically for the Marshall Thundering Herd or the WVU Mountaineers, but probably the Herd, right, Brian? You boil enthusiastically for certain politicians or certain hobbies. Maybe you boil enthusiastically for golf or cars or whatever. God is generous toward us so that we will be generous toward others. Let's boil enthusiastically about that. Let's be eager to do good things because of that. Redemption means freedom from a life of wickedness for a life of obedience and a life of purity. Christ died to give us this redemption. And God is concerned about the lifestyle of His people. Do we believe that? He is concerned about how we live our lives. He looks for eager obedience. He looks for us to be doing good things. And when we understand this, it leads to godly living. But if we're Christians living in ways that aren't godly, maybe that's a sign that we don't really understand this, or maybe we just don't believe God. This permanent, enduring change only comes by having the powerful presence of Jesus in us. You know, we don't change to be redeemed. We change because we are redeemed. Amen. God's character is a character of generosity. And generosity reveals God's character in us. Here's some hard numbers. Wealth among Christians in America has risen tremendously over the last century. But giving financially has remained static. According to the statistics that I looked at, during the Great Depression, per capita giving was about 3.2%. In the 1990s, it actually went down to 3%. And in the 2000s, depending on where you look, we're somewhere between 2.8 and 2.9% worldwide. So we have to ask ourselves, has the church really understood how generous God is, or have we accepted the miserly patterns of the world? You know, Scripture is full of teaching about possessions. I didn't know this, but apparently stewardship is mentioned in the Bible 3 times more than love is. It's mentioned 7 times more than prayer and 8 times more than believe. 15% of God's word, which is 2,172 scriptures, have to do with possessions or treasures. You think it's important? It's amazing. Why do you think that is? Why do you think God spends so much time in His word talking to us about our stuff or our possessions? My opinion, I think it's because we all, on some level, battle with greed. That's a hard thing to say. It's an even harder thing to stand up here and say. But no matter how rich we are or how poor we are or where we are on that spectrum, we all battle in some form or another with greed. We all battle with this notion of looking at our stuff and saying, "That's mine." You see this in little kids, right? And what do we tell them? You got to share. Don't you think God looks at us sometimes and says, "Matt, you got to share. It's important." So how do we move from this battle with greed to being the generous people God wants us to be? Well, first of all, we have to have a relationship with God. Without a relationship with God, we're never going to be the people He wants us to be. We also have to have a recognition that God owns it all anyway, right? And if God owns it all anyway, then any financial decision I make, isn't that really a spiritual decision as well? We also have to understand that God is calling us to be generous. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even small children are known by their actions. So is their conduct really pure and upright?" You know, as saints, as Christians, we are all saved by the blood of Christ. We all have His Spirit dwelling in us, and our job is to witness to the world. We're going to talk about that next week. And as we're taught, when we witness, we are to witness what we've seen God do or experienced God do. And if God's character is a character of generosity, then shouldn't that be my character as well? Shouldn't that be our character? Consider Christians are generous. You know, our faith should affect our pocketbooks. Our faith should affect our wallets. Martin Luther says there's three conversions: conversion of the head, heart, and the wallet. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, so will your heart be. Here's a humbling exercise. And if you don't like this, you can blame Tony Stowers, because I learned it from him. He was our former minister. But he taught this one time, and it stuck with me. Pull up your online banking account and look at it. And when you do that, honestly, it doesn't take much time to see where our hearts are, where our priorities lie, where our focus is. That is a humbling exercise. But you know, when a person borrows something, are you sad? Do you shed tears when you return it? Think about that for a minute. If you borrow something from somebody and you have to return it, are you deeply saddened when you return it? I mean, you've known all along, this isn't mine, I've got to give it back, right? No matter how useful it is or how important it is or whatever it is, you know going in, it's just borrowed. Church, our lives are borrowed. Our time is borrowed. Our wealth is borrowed. It all belongs to God. We make excuses. This is hard stuff. I know it's hard stuff. We make excuses. Well, I don't really have to tithe. Or I give my time and my talents, and those are good. But those statements underscore misunderstanding of what it is God wants us to do as we give. God says giving and generosity is determined by the heart. He wants considerate Christians to have a generosity that's cheerful. He wants us to be grateful for what He's done for us. In the New Testament, we're not given a percentage that we have to give. We are called to give as God has prospered us. Wow. Now, it doesn't say not to give 10%. We don't talk about that a lot. But we're to give as God has prospered. 10% for some is not a huge sacrifice. 1% for others is a tremendous sacrifice. New Testament giving is called grace giving. God didn't command us to give a certain amount. You know, how many do online banking in here? You know, I did that a couple times, and some bad things happened that were outside of my control, and I've never done it again. I need to get with the times. But if you do online banking, every month you got a certain bill due, it goes out of your account, right? God could have programmed us to do that, couldn't He? He could have made it all automated. He could have given us bill pay thousands of years ago. But He didn't. He wants us to give from the heart. He wants us to give not because we have to, but because we want to. We are to give as God has prospered us. And when we look at it that way, we will never, ever outgive God. Amen. Of all the things we see in both the New and the Old Testaments, we see the poor being cared for so much, and money and stuff collected for those who are less fortunate. Why do you think the early church focused so much on caring for the poor and the downtrodden? The early church focused on that because we see Jesus doing that in Scripture time and time again. He's our example, right? And to be completely honest with you, I see a whole lot more skepticism in us when it comes to caring for the poor than I ever did Jesus in Scripture. And you might disagree with me here, and that's okay. We talked about a few weeks ago how we handle disagreements, right? You might disagree with me. But I believe that when we give to somebody in need, what they do with it is none of our concern. You know, giving cash may not always be the best answer, right? There are times when it might be a whole lot more helpful to somebody if we take them an item, or if we go with them them somewhere and help them purchase something. But maybe cash is the right answer. The circumstances are always different. But when we give something to someone in need, that is a gift, right? And when we give a gift, the nature of it being a gift is that we give it and we do what? We relinquish control over it. You ever been given a gift that someone tries to control? It's awful, isn't it? That's not a gift. That's a contract. But when we give a gift to somebody, we relinquish control over it. When we do that, we are doing what God has called us to do. And what they do with that gift, that is between them and God, not us. It is an awesome privilege to be able to help someone in need. It is an awesome opportunity that we could have daily, probably hourly, if we're looking for those opportunities to help someone in need, maybe financially, maybe some other way, but the needs are out there. The opportunities are limitless. And we need to be taking advantage of those opportunities as the generous people God has called us to be. And who knows? It could very easily be any of us that have plenty today, but tomorrow find ourselves in need. We got to be there for each other. We got to be there for this world that's lost. Generosity is not limited to a time or a place or a percentage, but generosity is conformed to the generous nature of Jesus Christ himself. Generosity is like thanksgiving. This attitude comes from an understanding of who God is and what our identity in Christ is. Consider Christians are generous. 67-year-old Russell Herrmann, who was a carpenter, died in 1994. And he left a will behind. And his will made some staggering bequests. In his distribution, he gave $2 billion to the city of St. Louis. He gave another billion to the state of Illinois. He gave $2 billion to the National Forest System. He gave $6 trillion to the United States government to help pay on the national debt. It sounds amazingly generous, but there was a problem with his will. When Herrmann died, the only thing left in his estate was a 1983 Oldsmobile. There it is. That was it. He made grand bequests, amazingly generous seemingly, but there was no generosity involved. His promises were meaningless because they didn't go beyond the words written in the will. There was nothing there to back them up. True generosity is not determined by our words. Scripture teaches us that time and time again. True generosity is not even determined by the amount that we give, but it's determined by our hearts. Jesus addresses this in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Wow. Can you imagine what that scene would have looked like? As the disciples are watching all these rich people throwing in all this money, and they see this widow come and put in these two small copper coins, when we're told in verse 43, calling his disciples to him, what do you think they thought he was going to talk about? I bet it wasn't about the widow. It's the amazing, radical teachings of Jesus. And we're called to follow these examples. This gift this woman gave demonstrated how much she loved God. Out of her poverty, she gave all she had to live on. It showed that she loved God and what the work that was going on. You know, the best way to determine what we love is not by our words, but it's about how we use our time and our talents and our money. Considerate Christians are generous. Are you generous today? How do we become generous? We have to recognize first that God's character is one of generosity, and we have to recognize the need for that character in our lives. We have to receive the transforming power of Jesus. We have to release our earthly treasures for heavenly treasures. And when we do that, we can relax. We can relax in generosity and realize we don't give because we have to. We give because we want to. We give because it's a heart matter. And we give because we keep our possessions from possessing us. Boy, that's a dangerous place to be. And we recognize it all belongs to God anyway. Our challenge this week, the challenge that I'm challenging myself with, and I challenge you the same thing. Ask yourself this question. Am I borrowing God's things in a way that glorifies Him? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. I can't answer that for you. You can't answer that for me. That is a self-evaluation matter. Am I borrowing God's things in a way that pleases Him? You know, if you're here today and you've never experienced this transformational power of Jesus in your life, let Him save you. Come to Him and repent of your sins and be buried in the waters of baptism, where you have your sins washed away, where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, where you come up out of that water ready to walk with Christ, ready for a life in eternity as you remain faithful here. You know, we did Good News Club training yesterday, and one of the lines that I picked up yesterday was this: we don't come to church for information. We come to church for transformation. Let Jesus transform you today. If you've never been a Christian, that starts with becoming a Christian. If you are a Christian, He will continually transform your heart and mind every single day. But you got to let Him. If you need transformed today, come now as we stand and sing.